How much do you have the mind of Christ? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Our ongoing study of the book of Romans. Today we come to verse 16. One verse, a few short thoughts. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. The mind is an amazing part of the body, part of the being. Someone said that teenagers are learning how to think, use their mind. And they're very good at learning to think logically to the wrong conclusion. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that is true about all of us. That's true about people in the world. But as Christians, we need to have a makeover, a renewing of the mind. In the book of Romans, we've been learning about the gospel, the good news about what Jesus Christ has done and how he died to save sinners, and how when we repent and come to Christ in faith believing, we become believers, we become Christians, we are saved. And then God says, okay, now that you're saved, here's how I want you to live. And so at the start of chapter 12, the apostle says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, Christians, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Over in Ephesians 4, he talks about how we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Unfortunately, I think most of us don't think we need to change our mind at all. That's what this verse is addressing. People who don't really think they need to change their mind. It's everybody else that needs to change their mind. We think correctly, nobody else does. Well, that's where we all get it wrong. What's interesting about this verse is that the same Greek word is found three times. It's the word phroneo. The word means to think, to set one's mind on something, to have in the mind. And so it says, live in harmony with one another. It says, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. It says, never be wise in your own sight. You say, where's the mind? Where's the mind? I want to talk for a moment more about the mind before I get back into this passage. Because we talk about a mindset. A person has a particular mindset. Their mind is set. In fact, some people would say, you have a one-track mind. Now, what are they saying to you? They're saying, you only talk about one thing. When you get the opportunity to talk, we know what's coming. Okay? Some people, it's politics. Some people, it's sports. Some people, it's other people. Some people, it's scripture. What's our mindset? You're reminded in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Earlier in the book of Romans in chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Where's your mindset this morning? Is your mind set on the world and the flesh, or is your mind set on the Spirit? The next verse says, to set the mind on the flesh, that's death. To set the mind on the Spirit, that's life and peace. So, you might not think this is really that big of a deal, but God says it's a matter of life and death. Where is your mind set? Right now. He continues in verse 7 of Romans 5, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." And the next verse says, "Those who have their mind set on the flesh cannot please God." Cannot please God. Impossible. Now you may be thinking, well, sometimes I feel like I'm doing okay and sometimes I struggle. Well, you're like Peter. Jesus asked the question, "Who do people say that I am?" Who do you say that I am? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, you have your mind set on the Spirit because God gave you that. "I just want you disciples to know that I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be taken captive. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again." And Peter says, "Jesus, that's not going to happen to you." And Jesus turns and says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Whoa, where was his mindset then? So here's Peter in just one passage of Scripture. His mind is set upon God and he's getting revelation from God, and the next moment he's listening to the devil. Can you feel a little bit for Peter? You ever have struggles like that? Back here in chapter Romans 12, verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Don't think higher of yourself than you ought to think. Think with a soberness of mind. The enemies of the cross, what do they think? In Philippians 3:19 it says, "Their end is destruction, their god is their belly, they glory in their shame, their minds are set on earthly things." This again, this is a matter of life and death. Where is your mind set? This passage before us here in Romans 12 gives us a summons to unity in our thinking with one another. And it's a warning against wrong thinking of an arrogant heart. And don't think so highly of yourself that you're wise in your own eyes. So let's look at this passage. The first thing it says is, live in harmony with one another. Are you living in harmony with one another? The King James and the New American Standard say, be of the same mind one toward another. Get it? Be of the same mind one toward another. The Greek is just simply this. The same thing toward one another, minding or thinking. Have the same mind. Be in harmony. In Romans 15, verses 5 and 6, it says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We're to have that oneness in mind that harmonizes with one another. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, agree with one another. We could say to our politicians, agree with one another. And each one of them would say, I'm waiting for them to come to agree with me. Unfortunately, too often that's how it is with us as well. I'll agree with you as long as you're agreeing with me first. Since I know that I'm the right one. Interestingly, in Galatians 5:10, the apostle says, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine. I like that. That's because he was sharing scripture with them. He had the mind of Christ on this, and they needed to be in obedience with it. As we read in Philippians 2:2, he said, complete my joy by being of the same mind, one with another. And in Philippians 2:5, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You know, the only way to fulfill Romans 12:16 is having the mind of Christ and following him. At the end of Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. In other words, to be of one mind. Be of the same mind. Be in harmony. It's an interesting word, harmony. Think about it musically. Sometimes we sing in unison. We're all singing exactly the same thing. But if we're going to have a special number, a choral number, we want it to have some harmony. People harmonizing. All right? So that there's more than just one note being sung. There's several notes, but they harmonize. And many of you can very easily tell when something's not out of harmony. Something just isn't sounding right. Those notes didn't go together. Well, in the same way, we sense spiritually when we're out of harmony with one another and we're in a disagreement and we can't even find any common ground of agreement. And yet this says that we are to find that. We're to have that harmony. Believers don't have to hold exactly the same opinions, but there has to be a harmony and agreement, especially when we're conducting the business of the church, and especially with regard to what we believe, the basics of the faith. Now, even though we say we agree, we believe in the basics of the faith, that's why we're all here together, we're worshiping together. And yet, we might have some minor differences of opinion on some of these things. Where would you ever... Well, you might, I guess. I guess you might find a church where everyone agreed about the end times. But not too likely. There's always some people that wonder something slightly different. Hey, you know what? No one knows perfectly about that. We can still live in harmony with one another. But when we're talking about the deity of Christ and someone's denying the deity of Christ, that's out of harmony. That's just total disagreement with the Word of God. So there's certain aspects where we harmonize together and have that oneness of mind that we agree together. And so this is what this is talking about. Live in harmony with one another. That's talking to believers. Starts in the family, doesn't it? That's where you learn it. Young people, this is where you ought to learn to live in harmony with other believers, your siblings. And then you act the same way then toward other believers. Husbands and wives, this is where you first learn it, with each other. Even before the children come along. Learning to live in harmony with one another. And so God wants us to be this way. To live with that harmony together. That oneness of mind. Set on the things of the Spirit of God. Then we have a second thing here. It says, don't be haughty. And then it gives a sort of rejoinder on the end here. But associate with the lowly. Here's a warning against arrogance. The King James puts it, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. NASB says, don't be haughty in mind. NIV just says, don't be proud. The Greek is just simply, not the high things, minding, but to the humble, condescending. Although we don't like the word condescending anymore. So, willing to associate with the lowly. Being high-minded is someone with vain ambitions. John Murray wrote, if you think too highly of yourself, you may become opinionated to the point of being intractable and impervious to any advice but your own. That's a problem. Now, some of us think that we're always right, but we're not. Who are the guilty parties? Well, one of the guilty parties is oftentimes people with the gift of teaching. They just know they're right. They've studied it. They know they're right. And guess what? They're not always right. We always got to be humble, not high-minded, thinking that, oh, I know it. I know it. You know, always be willing to learn. That's why teachers have the greatest judgment. Beware of being a teacher. Yeah. Don't think so highly of yourself. So this word minding is the same as the previous, but this association, this condescending to the lowly, that's following along with them. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. What are the things that God especially hates? Six things the Lord hates, yea, seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a proud heart. Boy, sounds repetition, doesn't it? God hates pride. God does not want us to be proud-minded, haughty, arrogant, thinking that we know it all. Because none of us do. And God will take the opportunity to humble us. But it says here that we are then to associate with the lowly. Now, some people would say, well, that means you associate with lowly people. Others would say it means you associate with lowliness by doing lowly tasks. Well, perhaps both are true, but I think the main idea here is that it's being willing to associate with lowly people. Walk with the humble. The humble are the ones that God blesses. Walk in humility. You say, oh, I don't know, I don't like to associate with poor people. What did God say? Has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He's promised to those who love Him? But James reminds us, but you've dishonored the poor man. We're to associate with those of humble circumstances. By the way, this is very vital for us here in America because we are the richest people. Okay? We can get very high-minded and not be willing to associate with the lowly. So this is a warning given to us that where is our mind set? Thinking how great we are because God has blessed us? Don't ever think you're great because God has blessed you. Be humbled because God has blessed you. You might be thinking, oh, but I did such a good job. Maybe you did, but who helped you? Oh, look at what I accomplished. I graduated from college. How'd you do that? I studied so hard. By the way, do you have any teachers? Well, yeah. I guess they taught me a few things. Do you have any books? Yeah, I had to read some books. Who wrote those, people? You had to learn from other people? I suppose you didn't think about the fact of what your parents did for you when you were real young. You know, back when they were changing your diapers and trying to encourage you to walk and help you learn how to talk and all those little things. You didn't do that by yourself. If your mommy and daddy weren't out there, quack, 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 maybe you never would have walked. Who knows? But they're encouraging you. Don't you know God is the one that's doing all this? He's the one who's encouraging you. Set your mind on things above. Don't be willing to associate then with the humble. Don't think so highly of yourself. And if that wasn't enough, he repeats it, so to speak. After he says, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, he says, never be wise in your own sight. In your own thinking, in your own... The word for wisdom is this word for thinking. It means to think in a prudent manner. Don't think in your own mind that you're doing it all by yourself. King James translates it, don't be wise in your own conceits. NASB, don't be wise in your own estimation. Or the NIV, don't be conceited. Become not wise with yourselves. To be wise or insightful in a prudent way, acting in a way that is appropriate to the circumstances or the situation. Don't be that kind of wise in your own eyes. Don't think that way about yourself. Let God be the one who speaks that way of you. By the way, God did speak that way about people. Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, spoke that way about certain people. He said there are some people who are wise and prudent, thinking wisely in this way, and there are other people who are fools. And he says he used the example of building a house. And what kind of foundation you're building it upon. He says, the wise, the prudent person, the one who's truly thinking properly, is building his life upon the foundation of the words that I've given him and acting accordingly, putting it into practice. And fools are just building on sand. They're disobeying. Again, in Matthew 24, Jesus talked about the faithful and wise servant, the prudent thinking servant. Or in Matthew 25, we have the story of the wise or prudent virgins prepared for the coming of the bridegroom as opposed to the foolish ones who were unprepared. But the point is presented here in a negative way. Don't think this about yourself. Don't think that you've arrived. Learn to have the mind of Christ. Martin Luther was commenting on this verse, and we got to this, you know, don't be wise in your own sight. He said, don't be a blockhead. Don't be stiff-necked and unbelieving. He says, such people still remain adamant, and they wait for the chance to rejoice and laugh if the advice of others proves wrong. Oh, did that just hit home to anybody? I know I'm right. Go ahead. You can have your way. You'll see. And then if you were right, I told you so. But maybe you were wrong, and you didn't get to say anything. You don't talk about those times, do you? Sort of put those away like, I didn't. That was nothing. That was nothing. But the time you were right, oh, yeah, you see. Do Christians struggle with this? Did any of the Bible ever say something like that? Did the Apostle Paul ever say something like that, like on a cruise? Well, it wasn't exactly a cruise. He was a prisoner. But it was a ship, and it was in the water, and it was moving fast. Because God had a hurricane taking him across the water, so to speak. A Euroclidean moving him along. And when they were finally rescued, or getting ready to be rescued, Paul said, I told you so. You shouldn't have done this. However, Paul was right and Paul was wrong at the same time. Paul was right that prudently speaking, they should not have done that, but he was wrong because it was in the will of God and he was to get there quicker. Okay. But you see, we're so tempted to think, oh, I'm right and everybody else is wrong and I'm just going to wait until they fail and then I'm going to, ha ha, see, you got yours. That's not love. That's not true wisdom. That's not thinking the right way. That's not the way that we are to be acting as Christians. Luther continued and said, such people are authors of contention and disturbers of the peace. God wants us to learn to think rightly. When Jesus was getting ready to send his disciples out and he was giving him all those instructions there in Matthew chapter 10, he said, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. By the way, it's still true today. He says, so be wise. That is, be prudent in your thinking. That word again. Be prudent in your thinking as serpents, but innocent as doves. Even before the Apostle Paul got to this chapter, right before it in chapter 11 of Romans, talking about the mystery of Israel's salvation in verse 25, he says, lest you be wise in your own sight, lest you not be prudent in your thinking, I want to tell you something, he says. I want you to understand this mystery. Brothers, a partial hardening has come upon Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Then all Israel will be saved. But he prefaced that by saying, I don't want you to be wise in your own sight. Instead, I want you to have right thinking. We want to learn to think rightly. To think rightly, we need to be renewed in our mind. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Is that true for you? Do you let the words of Christ dwell in you richly? Do you let Scripture fill your mind and your heart? When it discusses the things that are true of the person who lets the words of Christ dwell in you richly, it's the same thing, same results as being filled with the Spirit. If we're filled with the Spirit, we're to be spiritually minded. We're to be thinking spiritual things. And when we find ourselves going through a day and we're not minding spiritual things, and we realize that, we need to confess it and say, Lord, I am not thinking the way you want me to. Help me to set my mind back on you again. Help me to get your thoughts back into my mind. Help me to think along with you and your word and your ways. God says the man, the woman will be blessed who meditates upon the word of God day and night. Even the law of God. Well, how's your intake of Scripture so that you can think rightly? Do you read the Bible every day? I hope so. I don't know how you can get along without reading your Bible every day. And not just reading it with thoughtfulness and reading it in the presence of the Lord, desiring for Him to teach you from it. You're to hear it, you're to read it, you're to memorize it. How can you meditate on it if you don't memorize it? What are you going to meditate on? Now, I'm not saying you have to memorize the whole Bible. Nothing wrong with that. Dr. Jack Van Impe was called the Walking Bible. I think he had most of the scripture memorized. You read the biography of Fanny Crosby. I think she had like the whole New Testament memorized and huge sections of the Old Testament memorized. And she was blind and couldn't read it. So, are we hiding God's word in our heart so that we can meditate upon it? But there's a danger even in meditation. It's stopping there. God says, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word. That means you need to obey it. So we got to take it in. We got to think about it. We got to meditate on it. We got to see how it applies to our life, and then we need to do it. That's having the mind of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I always do the things that please Him. He had the mind of the Father. His mind was always set on heavenly things, spiritual things. That's what God wants for us. Do you want it too? Seek the Lord this day. Seek Him in His Word. Seek Him and ask for Him to teach you His ways. He will bless you. He will give you understanding of His truth. And encourage one another to memorize and meditate and obey it. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Oh, that we might have the mind of Christ, that we might truly think biblically. Your word is so amazing. It is so powerful. It is just filled with truth. And we make so many mistakes because we don't know what it says. Or we know what it says and we're not living by it. Oh, Father, forgive us. Help us to learn to think rightly, to think biblically, to think and have the mind of Christ. Our minds, our hearts set on spiritual things. Oh, Father, this is a great need for each one of us. And we pray that You'll answer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.